thank you, Kim. It's a very special day in the world of comics. I want to start by saying, Bill, I remember before Jim and I were married, we used to lay in bed on Saturday nights and read comic books.
Sure.
And he would read like all the good stuff, like the DC comics, and I would read my X-Files comics and Archie.
Yep.
Maybe a little different.
Yep.
But it's really fun to hold a comic book and read a comic book, and a special day, a special thing's happening with DC Comics.
Yeah, the 100th issue of Action Comics, and we'll get into the history of Action Comics.
1,000.
Did I say 100? It's 1,000. That's 10 times 100, buddy. I did the math in my head. Gary Kulabona joins us, former president of the Moondogs chain of comic shops. Why former president? You should still be running these comic book shops.
Well, you know, I was one of the lucky guys. Back in the 90s with the death of Superman,
yeah,
everybody was into comics. There were comic book stores everywhere. And I had built a chain based on the fact that you didn't have to have old comics, that there was so much merchandise being produced,
yeah,
you know, T-shirts, trading cards, toys, action figures,
yeah,
that I could just put these stores in malls, and I wouldn't have to worry about trying to find a collection of old comics.
Right.
I would get new merchandise just coming out of a box.
Yeah.
And my customers wouldn't be all of the old guys, you know, looking for a VG copy of something. They would... These were moms with strollers, because
yes,
we were right in, you know, Randhurst, Ford City, Lincoln Park. And so big company came and bought me out.
Oh. And you're okay with that? You don't miss that a little bit?
It was, you know, top of the market, public company.
You did all right.
I'm the lucky guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember Moondogs. Gary Kulabona. I keep doing it wrong. Kulabono.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Perfect.
All right. You are a vintage comic book expert, and you're a collector, and you were talking to Bill. First of all, you brought something in the studio that listeners can have a chance to see. May I just tell you how sweet it was as you're showing these beautiful things and memorable things to Bill? He's like, Gary, thank you so much for giving these to me.
Yeah,
that
I
was
really
a nice try.
It. Yeah,
it's like a religious experience.
Well, tell us what I'm looking at, what I'm holding in my hands right now. This is part of comic book history, a big part.
It is. Prior to Action Comics number one hitting the newsstands in June of 1938, probably a few, maybe a month older than that, but in June of 38, that's the cover date for Action Comics number one. But about a year before that, DC was trying to, you know, come up with the right title to showcase a new character. And that character, of course, Superman. And so, but they weren't ready to publish anything at this time, but they wanted to lock in that title, Action Comics. I mean, it's got to be the greatest title in the history of comics, right? So they decided they're going to make these, like, handmade fake comics. They're basically fake comic books. And they took things together, cobbled them together, and made these comics and sent them to the Patent and Trademark Office so that Action Comics can be secured, the trademark. And
with the logo and everything like that.
The famous Action Comics logo.
Which you'll recognize, listeners, when you see it immediately.
Oh, sure. It's going to be on Action Comics 1000. It's been on. They use that logo for 1,000 issues. So I had an opportunity to buy these from the retired president of DC back 35 years ago. And I'm the luckiest guy on the planet because nobody owns these except me.
Oh, my God.
There's three of each. Right. You have one of each. I'm holding two early Action Comics. So one is in the vault over at DC.
And then there are two others outside of the vault, the one you're holding. And then another one that's out there somewhere that I used to own and sold about 20 years ago.
And does that same owner have it, or did he or she turn around and sell it again?
We're pretty sure he still has it because I kind of monitor all this stuff within collector circles.
You know, when you're giving up a child for adoption, you want to kind of keep track of them. It's much the same, I would imagine.
You do. You kind of keep track of them. And I'm the guy. I mean, I'm the comic book guy who kind of keeps track of this. If you go on page 14 of the comic book price guide every year, there's a little acknowledgement for me keeping track of all these rare comic books.
Nice. All right, so when Superman makes his debut in what year?
1938.
There's already some superheroes in comics. He's by far not the first.
He's not the first superhero, but he's basically, well, you know what? I'll argue that he is the first superhero.
Really, yeah?
There were other guys that were masked adventurers and stuff.
Yeah.
But they weren't superheroes like this.
Did they have names? Who were some of those masked people?
The Arrow is one.
I've heard of that.
There's
not guys, Green Arrow. It's a different Arrow
guy. Yeah, it's a different Arrow. It's a different publisher.
Yeah.
You know, and really, there's just a handful of them. A lot of them were detectives. You know, like the Dick Tracy clones.
Yeah.
You know.
Gumshoes, Bill.
They were gumshoes, Wendy. That's what they were. They were gumshoes. So what did the guys get right when they came up with the idea for Superman? What did they do that nobody else had thought of that was so innovative, do you think?
Well, actually, it was a big risk on their part. Okay. The Siegel and Shuster, the two kids from Cleveland, had been peddling the Superman concept as a daily Sunday comic strip.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted it. And so in 1937, it got published in 38. But in late 37, they decide, we'll take it to the comic book guys now.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want it to be a comic book. They wanted it to be a comic strip. And that was really important because all the comic strip guys were the legit guys. Mm-hmm. The comic book guys, they were...
The scum of the earth
down in the basement around the corner of publishing. And so they, when they couldn't sell it as a strip, they went to the comic book publishers, and that's when DC picked it up. Harry Donenfeld.
True or false, Siegel and Shuster made virtually no money off of Superman?
False.
They came later. Right, it came much later.
No, they made a lot of money early on.
Oh, did they? Yeah,
early on in relation to the earning potential during that time. In the early 1940s, they were making thousands of dollars a week, and so they were doing very well. But then they saw that the publisher was making. Licensing started almost immediately. They were making so much money, and they were getting basically crumbs. Now, the crumbs were big, though. This is where the argument comes in.
Yeah.
The crumbs were big, but then they said, well, we're going to sue because we want our rights back.
Right.
And that's when things went south for them. They lost all their lawsuits. They had bad lawyers. They had bad advice. They lost all the lawsuits and they became pariahs. Oh. That's when they became destitute. In fact,
that's Superman, heartbreaking to hear.
Yeah,
that
when the first Superman movie in 78 came out,
yeah,
these guys were like, oh, they were basically delivery men for sandwiches to the offices at DC Comics.
Terrible,
I know.
And it's because they could have got a better. They could have had Michael Cohen be their lawyer.
they have. Through an efforts within the industry, in their later years, they did get credit. They did get stipends.
They did.
Their heirs now have made huge windfall profits.
Good.
I don't know if that's even the right word. They got what was coming to
the royalties.
Yeah.
All right, Gary Colabono, former president of the Moondogs chain of comic shops, vintage comic book expert. Tomorrow is the day, April 18th of this year, 2018, DC Comics will publish the 1,000th issue of Action Comics. We'll tell you how you can get your hands on one, how you can look at rarities, where to go as we continue. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Tomorrow is a big day. Wednesday, April 18th, 2018, DC Comics will publish the 1,000th issue of Action Comics. Gary Colabono is in the studio with us, and you are going to be at Comics Revolution, 115 West Central Road, downtown Mount Prospect, tomorrow as that 1,000th comic comes out from 5 to 8 p.m. What will you have with you?
Well, I'm going to bring my prototype Action Comics number one and my prototype Action Funnies number one, so everyone can see them and hold them and get a picture with them. These are the pinnacle of my collection. I have only brought them out of the bank vault three times in the last 35 years, So this is a real opportunity to see something so rare that to see them in one place at one time, it's never happened before.
It's a shame you have to keep them in a bank vault because the art is just so beautiful and they're such an important part of pop culture history. But you kind of do. They're too valuable to just keep anywhere else, right?
That's right. I feel like I'm a custodian of like pop culture history and relics and stuff. And these things belong in museums, and maybe they will be someday.
They should be.
But right now, they're mine.
And you want to share it.
I want to share it. I want to
show
it off.
Why? That's so sweet of you.
Well, you know, we collectors. I just saw Bill's collection of action figures, photo. We want to share this stuff.
Yes.
Because we love it.
What is it if you can't share it? Because of you, my husband collects just Star Wars action figures. But it's so funny, you know, when the bug guy comes by to spray the house, he's like, hey, check this out. What is a collection if you can't share it with someone?
Exactly. I got to tell you, that's pretty common. There are so many collectors who just want their stuff, and they don't want anybody to know about it, you know. And so on one hand, I understand that,
right?
From a security issue. But, you know, this stuff isn't in my house. I'm not worried about somebody banging in my house or something.
Graphic novels, good for the comic business or not?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right now, and that's the one thing about Comics Revolution that's a little bit different. You know, they don't sell. Well, I think they do have a few back issues in their old comics. Now, in fact, we just brought some in the last couple of months. But for 20 years, he never sold any old comics. What he was selling are
current.
He's selling the current comics.
The new Archie. I love it.
Yeah. But he's working with the local libraries, bringing graphic novel sections, helping the librarians to know what to buy.
Yeah.
it's the art form. It's telling stories in words and pictures, not just words.
Right.
And it's important.
And we were saying this off the air. My husband's been reading a lot of Star Wars comic books on the computer. It's different than, and he still reads, you know, a comic book too, but there's something to be said for holding that comic book in your hand.
Yeah, the tangible aspect of it. That's why we collectors, you know, comic books have a number on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that, because you want to have them all. So as a collector, you go, okay, I have 4, 5, 8, 9. Well, I need 5 and 6 and 7.
Yeah.
And so, but when we find them, we want to hold them and we want to touch them. And we still smell them too. Make sure they're...
Explain that, because people go, I don't understand. Why are you smelling comic books?
It's a sensory thing. Old paper smells a certain way.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we want to make sure that it's not musty. We want to make sure it doesn't have smoke from cigarette smoke in there. We want that nice... It's almost like aromatic.
Yeah. So. Gary, if you look at the box office, Black Panther has exceeded what everybody ever thought it could ever do. If you look on television, you've got, I think it's 13 or 14 shows that are based on superheroes from comic books. What's going on? How did it all of a sudden it become such a mass cultural thing?
You know, I think it always could have happened, but the technology couldn't catch up with the comic book page. See, what happens in between panels is as important as what you're looking at in the panel. We remember old Spider-Man cartoons, and we remember, you know, bad TV shows.
Sure.
Even Wonder Woman, as much fun as it was. I mean, you know,
the Linda Carter version?
Sure. It's lame compared to what's happening today.
Yeah.
And so today, because of the technology, and really, Disney, Marvel, they have a formula that is just so unbelievable.
Yeah.
They know what makes it work. And they're not... they're not dragged down. They're not burdened with all this 80 years of history that Superman is.
Yeah.
If something doesn't seem to translate well from the comic to the screen, they forget about it. I'm not going to worry. It's not the same as the comic book. And the fans today just want they want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And so they're not burdened with all this history that DC seems to be done. You know, they have, you know, too much, we can't have Superman laughing and joking, because if he did, he wouldn't be Superman.
But
now, you know, Tony Stark was a pretty serious guy when he first started.
Oh, yeah.
you know, he's the biggest Joker in the right. whole Marvel universe.
Right.
I want to volunteer my services. There is nothing more cathartic to me and therapeutic than stuffing comic books on the cardboard into the bag. And then if you need any help, I'd be glad to help you.
You know, there's nothing better than bagging comics.
I love it.
I know. It's so great to hear this.
That's Wendy's superpower.
Wow.
That's her origin story.
I'm the old bag girl.
My wife has never bagged a comic in her life. You know, because I shouldn't say. She puts the board in right. the bag, but not the comic.
I love doing it. I'd help my husband do it all the time.
She's on board with your affliction, your love of comics. She's okay with everything.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. She got to be a stay-at-home mom because I was selling comics.
Excellent. I love
to
hear it.
It's a pleasure to meet you. It really is. Gary Colabono. Correct. And again, where are you going to be tomorrow from 5 to 8?
Comics Revolution, downtown Mount Prospect, from 5 to 8. You'll get to hold, see, touch, take a picture with these rare artifacts.
They're stunning.
You have to give them back, you know. He's trying to hide them under his folders.
Right. We got
to
go. We have to leave.
There's such a pleasure.
There's a fire alarm.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Gary. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.